You're listening to KSVR Mount Vernon, Cedro Woolley and Laconner, and KSVU Hamilton, Concrete and Marble Mount.
Be the friend your friends can count on. Last year, Skagit County lost 51 loved ones to overdose. 92% of those overdoses involved fentanyl. Know the facts about fentanyl and carry naloxone to prevent death by overdose. Get no-cost naloxone at Skagit County Health by visiting us or calling 360-416-1500. KSVR would like to thank Skagit County Public Health for your support. It's now time for Skagit Talks, featuring local news, interviews, and information from around the valley, created with the help of Skagit County community volunteers. Now, KSVR 91.7 presents Skagit Talks.
Today we welcome Nikki Wegner to the studio. Nikki is here to tell us about the 45th anniversary of Chinook Enterprises. What is Chinook Enterprises? We're about to find out. In the Northwest News Report, Macaw Tribe's permit applications outlines plans for a summer whale hunt. Now, Chinook Enterprises.
Good day and welcome to Skagit Talks. It's a pleasure to welcome to our studios today the CEO of Chinook Enterprises. And by the way, they're just right down the street from the studio, so it's great she stopped by. It's Nikki Wegner. She is the CEO for Chinook Enterprises. Nikki, thanks for taking time to come in and talk to us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great having you. So, living in Mount Vernon, I see a Chinook Enterprises truck all over town. Tell me what, in a few words, what does Chinook Enterprises do? I see them doing lots of things.
Yeah, well, we do lots of things. So thanks for noticing. We turned 45 this year, and for 45 years, we've been providing commercial landscaping to lots of different contractors using those trucks and employees. And we employ people with disabilities or other barriers to work. And we also help folks get jobs outside of Chinook. And that's our main mission, is to help folks fully participate in the community. And we're a social enterprise. So in order to fund those services, we do the commercial landscaping. And we also provide manufacturing and assembly services to lots of different businesses in our shop just down the road. Mostly right now for Boeing.
Oh, that's interesting. So you say he's been around for 45 years and you work with people with disabilities. Is it mental disabilities? Is it physical disabilities? Temporary? Permanent? Talk to me about your clients.
Yeah, that's a great question. So last year we served 235 folks, and really we run the gamut. So, one in four people during the course of their life will either experience a disability themselves or they know someone who does experience a disability. And really it could range from anything from a physical disability like cerebral palsy to more of an intellectual disability like someone who experiences Down syndrome or autism. We also help people who might be coming out of homelessness or have a substance abuse issue or a mental health issue, and they just need a little support getting back into the workforce. And so they might only need our services temporarily.
So you're a 501(c), right? A nonprofit organization.
A 501(c)(3), yes. Yeah.
So how do clients find you, or do you find clients? How do you find these 230 people?
Yeah, great question. We do a lot of outreach. So Chinook is a huge part of the Skagit County community. We're involved in all four chambers. We also go to job fairs and regular fairs. We had an employee who dressed up as a blueberry for Berry Dairy Days. So we do a lot of outreach to find folks who are job seekers. We also partner with Skagit County Developmental Disabilities Program and hold contracts with Island, Snohomish, Whatcom, and Skagit County to help folks coming to us through the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, which is commonly known as DVR. And so we receive referrals from both of those funders, as well as folks just walking off the street.
Do they have to pay? I have a friend who I think would be a client of yours. Do they have to pay a fee to be part of Chinook?
No. If you are someone coming to us with a referral or a diagnosis, typically those funds to enter our program are covered by the state, a portion anyway. The rest of the funding we come up with ourselves through our two revenue generating departments, which is our commercial landscaping and our manufacturing and production. If you were someone who maybe didn't have services and you wanted to privately pay, we do offer private pay contracts on a sliding scale based on your ability to afford services.
Now, I'm familiar with your commercial landscape because here on the Skagit Valley College campus, I've been seeing the truck and I'm seeing this great looking mulch coming all over campus. And it looks great, by the way. By the way, do you ever go out on a job?
Thank you. Well, the guys will tell you that I really prefer mulching to emailing, but
don't we all?
Yeah, especially when they let me use the zero turn mowers. I mean, those things are real fun. But you know, unfortunately, most of my job is out in the community or in the office. But on the rare occasion when there's a sunny day and someone calls in sick, they will call me, and I get to put my overalls on. So that's pretty fun.
That sounds like a fun part of the job. So you were talking about assembly and manufacturing and doing some things for a big company south of us here, Boeing. What kinds of things are we doing?
Yeah, great question. So we do bonding and sealant work. We do light assembly work. We do cutting and kitting of materials. We do die cutting. So really, you know, we also do some wire assembly. So we're putting contacts on wires and packaging things. Really, we don't turn work away unless it's just not a good fit for our mechanics. So we'll come out and assess any job. You know, recently we did a contract with Legend Brands just down the road. And so we do one-time jobs or longer-term agreements with marine, automotive, aerospace, and then just typical industrial and industrial manufacturing.
Yeah, we should probably tell people what your website is so they can get some more information. What's your website?
Yeah, it's Chinook, like the salmon, Chinook Enterprises.org.
That sounds like a simple one, ChinookEnterprises.org. And I've been on your website. It's a pretty good one. Let me reintroduce you, Nikki. We're talking with Nikki Wegner. She is the CEO of Chinook Enterprises. They happen to be physically located right down the street from the campus here at Skagit Valley College. But they work throughout all the areas here in northwestern Washington. You go as far north as Whatcom County and as far south as Snohomish?
We do. Yeah, we do have some small contracts to serve job seekers in those areas. We haven't fully expanded yet because, you know, funding is an issue. And so we have our 45th anniversary fundraiser event coming up April 3rd, which is 45 years after our incorporation date. And it's going to be sponsored by Boeing and Janicki and a host of other supporters, really to help us raise money so that we can hire staff in those outlying areas, because there's no shortage of folks who need jobs.
Yeah. So what's going to happen at the April 3rd event? Is there an auction, a chance to raise the paddle, or how are we going to raise money?
Yeah. Well, really, we're focused on impact. And so we'll have an impact video. It'll be emceed by our own David Wilder, who's a pretty famous Skagitonian. Rob Martin will be there. Hopefully, he'll be wearing a tux and not a bunny costume, but we'll see. He's pretty fun. And then I'll talk briefly about the future of Chinook, and you'll get a chance to meet some of our constituents and job seekers, as well as employees. And we'll have a interactive display where folks can walk in and touch and see and feel some of the products we've made over the last 45 years. So it's a short event. It's 90 minutes, just long enough to get a drink and a little poo-poo and raise your paddle to help support this asset to our community.
Well, that's great. So 45 years, I'm guessing it has changed a bit. You mentioned Rob Martin. He was here for a long time. He was your predecessor.
He was, yeah. Big shoes to fill, although I do put on costumes and wigs to try to make it fun like he did.
I should say Rob was sitting in that very chair a few years back telling us about Chinook, I think at the 40th year anniversary.
Yes, I keep a cardboard cutout of him in my office to keep watch over me to make sure I'm doing everything correctly, just as he would have done.
With your own touch on it, I'm sure. So 45 years, I'm sure it's changed. What are you looking for in the next 10 years? You just mentioned you have some plans to what's going to be happening for your 55th anniversary. What are you looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at expanding. So our operations, both in manufacturing and in grounds and landscaping, we're looking at adding, you know, a fourth arm of fundraising and more grant writing so that we really can touch those outlying communities as well as expand the folks that we already serve in Skagit. So we're looking for more employer relationships, We have room to grow in our current location, but we really want to optimize our facilities and, you know, not buy junky old mowers, but maybe some nicer mowers so we can be more efficient and cost effective as well.
So I'm curious if you work with other enterprises like Chinook throughout the state. I'm guessing we're not the only ones who come up with a program like this.
That's right. Yeah, I'm actually on the board of the Community Employment Alliance, which is a consortium of 40 providers in Washington State who all do the same work. And I've been serving in CEA since 2015. So it's a huge part of my life and my volunteer work.
Now, you've been as a CEO for 4 years, but it sounds like you've been involved in the field for even longer.
Yes. Yeah, so I left high school and worked at a shelter, and I met my first job seeker at that shelter. He was a young man who didn't have a job, and he had a disability. He didn't have parents. And so I was touched by all of the things that he had to offer and some of the support he needed, and it really inspired me to dive into this. And so I've been working in employment services since 2006.
Wow. So you were pretty young at the time.
I was, yes.
You obviously still enjoy it.
I do. There's nothing better than helping somebody get their first job.
Yeah. Tell me some of your success stories.
Yeah. So one of my first job coaching experiences was a gal right out of high school. And I taught her how to fold hospital quarters on sheets. She worked in a hotel. She had two jobs, actually. And, you know, to support her family, she was one of the only wage earners in her household. She started working right out of high school in her 20s and worked all the way up, you know, until I left that agency. And we're still really good friends. And she calls me on the weekends to tell me how she's doing. So I think about the impact that someone's first job had and maybe how I could have supported them to become a lifelong wage earner. And then what does that do for our state and local economy when people don't, they aren't institutionalized or sitting at home alone? You know, what are all the things that come out of that one job?
Now, do you have clients who've been with you for 10, 15, 20 years?
Oh, we do. I mean, you'll meet Nels, perhaps. There are a few folks like Nels that have been in their jobs over 25 years. They're, you know, maybe their first or second job placement. Some people want different jobs. And so we do encourage people to quit if they want to try something else with notice, obviously, to their employer. And then we sometimes will refill a job opening with another job seeker if somebody wants to grow in their career and maybe move on. So I think, you know, the average person supported by Chinook works over 8 years at their job, which is pretty incredible when you look at turnover rates across industry.
Yeah. Do you offer classes for people to learn different skills?
We don't offer classes. We do offer folks the chance to try out different types of jobs. And so you'll often see us reaching out to an employer with a job tryout or a job shadow ask. They can also come work in our shop and try different types of capabilities. We really find that people learn best on the job. But certainly if they want to enroll in a college course or something, we can support them in doing that. Typically, the majority of our folks don't pass the entry exams at local colleges. And so that can be a barrier, that higher education piece.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I'm curious, being around for 45 years, are you aware of any children of people who have gone through, maybe somebody you helped 20 years ago now has a child and needs help?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know anyone right now, but I do often meet people in my circles that have a kid with a disability, and they are so amazed by the work that we do, because usually a doctor or a person giving you a diagnosis is telling you all the things that maybe your son or daughter won't do. And we kind of flip that script, right? And we say, actually, you know, maybe put that in the file folder and forget about it, because most of our people have full and really fulfilling lives. And the diagnosis is just that. It's just a label.
Yeah. If you had one thing you wanted to do to improve Chinook Enterprises, what would it be? What if I gave you a blank check, what would you spend it on?
I really would add more staff, frankly. I think we're constantly up against more demand than we have staff for. And, you know, frankly, we don't want to raise prices just so we can hire more people. And we really want to pay our staff what they deserve to earn. So, you know, our goal is above prevailing wage in most situations, so that people want to work for Chinook for a long time. So really, 75% of our budget is staff wages, and that's what I'd spend it on. More staff.
More staff, more people to help other people.
That's right.
Sounds like a good thing. So ChinookEnterprises.org is the website. You can learn a lot more. Can just anybody show up to your party coming up on April 3rd, or do you need to have tickets in advance?
Oh, good question. Tickets are $45.
What an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, that's right. And our goal is to raise $45,000. We're almost halfway to our goal. And so, you know, tickets are on sale. You might be able to still buy them at the door.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's coming up April 3rd at the Swinomish Casino, am I right?
That's right, at 5:30 p.m.
At 5:30 p.m. Again, more information at ChinookEnterprises.org. Well, Nikki, it's great having you in today and telling us all about Chinook. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
No, it's been great having you, and we'll have you back in 5 years, and you can tell us how you're doing.
Sounds good.
All right. This is David Johnson for Skagit Talk saying thanks so much for listening. Hey, do me a favor. Take care of yourself. Take care of others.
This is Chef Stuardo with this week's Arts, Cultural, and Entertainment Minute. For Friday, March 21st, Stuart Woods is at the Arcadian Public House, that's the Conway Muse, Friday nights at 6:30 up in the Speakeasy. Casey Freedom, 13 Pines, and Owen Evans are also at the Arcadian Public House, Conway Muse again, starting at 8 p.m. Cascade Cody and Marika Clymer, they're at the Lyman Tavern, that's kicking off at 7 p.m. Dogtail Swing is at the Guaymas Island Store, that's early at 5:30 p.m., make sure you get that ferry on time. Susan Rice is at the Lincoln Theater. That's kicking off Friday night at 7:30. The Songs and Stories of America Folk Rock. That's happening Friday at the McIntyre Hall. Skagit Swing's Big Band. That's happening at the Anacortes Senior Center. And that's happening at 3 in the afternoon. All Out for the Hall Out. That's happening at the Guaymas General Store. That's starting at 5:30 p.m. There's a freestyle jam session happening at the Rockport Bar and Grill. This is happening Saturday night at 7 p.m. Brandon Tigner and Jim Oosterhoff, they're at the Arcadian Public House, and that's happening at 6:30. Charlie Parton takes the stage at Barley and Brew. That's beginning at 7 p.m. Selena Mack is at Bigfoot's Den. That's beginning at 6 p.m. Marcia Keister at the Birdsview Brewery. That's beginning at 6 p.m. as well. Coyotes at the Brown Lantern, that's beginning at 9 p.m. On Sunday, it's Pension King, that's at the Brown Lantern Sunday Brunch, that's beginning at 10 a.m. The Everlovers at the Old Edison, that's taking off at 5:30 p.m. Sunday has the Holden and Huckleberry Show, that's at the Anacortes Music Project at Buxton's, and that's a live radio show beginning at 12 p.m. On Monday, it's the Toddler Sing-Along, that's happening at Buxton's at 10 a.m. Tuesday, Ben Starner takes the stage at Dad's Diner, kicking off at 5 p.m. On Wednesday, it's Fidalgo Swing, and that's happening at the Rockfish Grill, kicking off at 6 p.m. Forrest Stoke at the Double Barrel Barbecue, that's on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Thursday has Chris Iger at Farmstrong Brewing, that's beginning at 6 p.m. The 720 String Band is happening at the Guaymas Island Store, and that's beginning at 5 p.m. It's the open mic at the Brown Lantern. That begins at 8:30 on Thursday. As you can hear, there's so much going on, but make sure you check your events calendars and local listings for some things we might have missed at press time. And don't forget, Friday night at 8 o'clock p.m., tune into ksvr.org for Chef Stuardo's The All Around the World Music Show, coming to you worldwide. Happy first day of spring. Be careful out there. Enjoy yourself. And do me one favor, whatever you do, please don't drink and drive. This is Chef Stuardo sitting in for Rhonda E. with this week's Arts, Cultural, and Entertainment Minute. Take care, everybody.
Here's the Northwest News Report.
This is Stuardo Glasser.
And this is Rhonda E.
for Skagit Talks. The Macaw Tribe's permit application outlines plans for a summer whale hunt. The Macaw Tribe has formally requested permission to resume its traditional whale hunt in July. If approved, macaw hunters could legally harvest a gray whale off the coast near Nia Bay for the first time in more than 25 years. The permit application outlines the tribe's plans for two seasonal hunts from July to October this year, and again in 2027. It would allow the tribe up to two strikes and one landed whale during each of those summer-fall seasons. Their goal is to do it this summer. Macaw Chairman T.J. Green says a lot of factors still have to come together to make the hunt a reality, from the federal approval to figuring out who the whalers will be and training them physically and spiritually. If they're not ready, Green says, the tribe can apply for another permit later.
There's nothing in the waiver that restricts us to only one permit. You know, we could submit a permit for a hunt in the spring if we chose to do so next year.
The macaws received a waiver this past June under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. That federal law otherwise prohibits whale hunting, despite the macaw's treaty right from 1855. Macaw Tribal Chairman T.J. Green says it's a sacred activity for his people, one that they've been cut off from since the 1999 hunt, which was shut down by animal rights activists and lawsuits.
We've gone a whole generation since our last whale hunt, and people have missed out on that opportunity in their development, and development as a leader, development as a good contributing member of the society and community. You know, it's important to us.
The tribe still has work to do to get its whaling crews ready. If it happens, the summer hunt would take place off the coast of Nia Bay, west of Cape Flattery. Have a good weekend. This is Stuart O'Glasser reporting for Skagitalks.
Here's the Yonder Report.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Gaps in healthcare and spotty broadband can be a deadly combination in rural counties and contribute to 3 million Americans living sicker, shorter lives. KFF Health News reporter Sarah Jane Tribble says they live where doctors don't practice and telehealth can't make up the difference.
If you think about the promise of telehealth and being able to use virtual care, that promise doesn't work in these places.
Compared to cities, patients across the rural South, Appalachia, and remote West often can't make a video call to their doctor or log into their patient portals. She says that contributes to the health disparity between places like Howard County, Maryland, outside of Washington, D.C., and Greene County in Alabama's Black Belt.
Folks there die on average 10 years younger than folks in sort of the leafy, wealthier county.
More than $42 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law was to go to expanding broadband this year. But that Biden-era program faces uncertainty and deep cost-cutting. The Trump administration is attacking it as full of, quote, woke mandates. Medicaid cuts and Republican budget plans could also worsen rural health care. Alana Newman looked at one Colorado community.
More than a third of Montezuma County is enrolled in Medicaid, and it supports a quarter of the budget for the county seat's hospital. Joe Thine, CEO of Southwest Memorial in Cortez, says Medicaid reimbursements are lower than private insurance, but the other option is getting nothing.
If that same patient no longer has insurance and is unable to pay, we still take care of them. But now there's nothing coming in that's contributing to keeping all of those services.
The hospital employs 500 people, many with young families that support local institutions like the public schools.
The ripples of a hospital in a rural community are many beyond just the health and well-being of the people we serve directly.
I'm Ilana Newman.
Conservationists are suing Elon Musk and Doge over the mass firings at the agencies that manage federal land and parks. Sierra Club managing attorney Gloria Smith says visitor safety, wildlife protection, wildfire prevention, and maintenance in states like Arizona are at risk.
There's a lot of work that goes into making a park presentable and safe for the high season when millions and millions of people visit.
The National Weather Service, part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has been Musk's latest target. The Smith says NOAA provides critical, free, real-time weather service data.
On a rafting trip, if there's a huge storm, then there are flash flood risks, for example.
The suits argue Musk was appointed and is acting illegally. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Here's the national news.
Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. The Pentagon was scheduled today to brief Elon Musk on the U.S. military plan for any war that might break out with China, two U.S. officials said on Tuesday. Another official said the briefing would be China-focused without providing additional details. That from the New York Times. They report hours after the news of the plan meeting was published by the Times. Pentagon officials and President Trump denied the session would be about military plans involving China. Quoting Trump, in a late-night post, China will not even be mentioned or discussed, providing Musk access to some of the nation's most closely guarded military secrets would be a dramatic expansion of his already extensive role as a Trump advisor. Meantime, student loans are among the areas overseen by the U.S. Department of Education. Now that President Donald Trump has followed through in his threat to gut the agency, questions are mounting about the fate of loan services.
On Thursday, President Trump signed an order he says begins the process of dismantling the department, even with questions about the limitations of executive power for this move. A White House official says the skeleton agency will continue to run student loans and Pell Grants, but higher education advocates still worry about borrowers running into issues. Mike Pierce of the Student Borrower Protection Center feels the system was already broken.
We expect that things will only get harder for working people with student debt and for families that are trying to pay for college.
I'm Mike Moen.
Next, to Mississippi, a state grappling with a growing mental health crisis, state and local leaders are being urged to prioritize diversion programs and crisis care systems to prevent the unnecessary incarceration of people with mental illness.
It's estimated 2 million people with serious mental illness are booked into jails across the U.S. each year, says Shannon Scully with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. In Mississippi, where mental health resources are often scarce and the incarceration rate is among the highest in the nation, it means more than 19,000 people in state custody.
The criminal justice system disproportionately impacts people with mental illness. They are overrepresented in those spaces, and that's mostly because historically, our communities have underfunded and under-resourced behavioral health.
I'm Tramell Gomes.
And one of the many federal agencies facing cuts by the Trump DOGE team is NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. As states like Wisconsin brace for what's often a severe spring weather season, scientists say the cuts would likely threaten people's safety. Bernadette Woods Plackey is the chief meteorologist with Climate Central.
Because of NOAA data, we know when to evacuate ahead of storms, fires. We know when not to evacuate, which is also really critical because that saves a lot of money and a lot of time.
NOAA employees have been told to expect layoffs of up to 20% or more than 1,000 jobs, and some have already begun. This is Public News Service. Governor Mark Gordon has just a few days left to make final decisions on bills passed during the Wyoming legislative session. Both fair election advocates and Gordon himself have called some in the pile boilerplate.
The governor signed bills into law this month that prohibit ranked choice voting, a system not currently used in the state, and foreign funding for ballot measures, although one slated for the 2026 ballot will be the first in 30 years. Marissa Carpio of the Equality State Policy Center notes that trend could be the result of new control by the Freedom Caucus in Wyoming's House of Representatives.
What seems like happened is boilerplate bills from national groups making their way into Wyoming with issues that we just do not have, maybe just to send a message to those national groups that Wyoming is a place where you can do that.
Gordon this week vetoed Senate File 196, which would have amended the Second Amendment Protection Act to include legal ramifications for police officers who participate in the enforcement of federal firearms laws. In his three-page veto letter, Gordon wrote the state, quote, shouldn't need to pass boilerplates created in far-flung states that seek to fix problems we haven't seen in Wyoming. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Next to Virginia, where legislation would prohibit any systematic removals of people from voter rolls at least 90 days before an election.
Last August, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order requiring daily updates to voter rolls instead of monthly. The Department of Motor Vehicles found more than 6,000 people marked as non-citizens were registered to vote in Virginia. But voting rights advocates argue that people may accidentally check the box that says they aren't a citizen, or they've gained citizenship between DMV visits. Sheila Herlihy-Hennessy with the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy says purges so close to elections impact people across the Commonwealth.
This affects rural areas. This affects new Americans. This affects a lot of people around Virginia. And I want to see if our legislators protect those individuals. So this has the legs to be a bipartisan issue.
Youngkin has defended his executive order as necessary to protect election security. I'm Simone Perez.
Finally, a coalition of conservationists and tribal nations is pushing for support of the Columbia Basin Restoration Initiative by state officials in Olympia.
The initiative is a project to remove the Lower Snake River dams while maintaining current irrigation, transportation, energy, and recreation services. The initiative focuses on restoring salmon runs and supporting the endangered southern resident killer whales. Professional kayaker Gabe Newton will draw attention to the plight of the orcas next week. He says protecting them means protecting all living things.
Well, it's incredibly important. Every time a thread in the web of life is broken, our own capacity to thrive is diminished. And orcas and salmon are very integral threats.
I'm Mark Richardson.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member ENLIS supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You've been listening to Skagit Talks, the community information and news program, produced and edited by Catherine Tulane. Theme, Rhythmic Gitan by Lachey Swing from the Free Music Archive. Thanks for listening to today's edition.